You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're meeting the candidates for North Carolina House District 19, which covers the southern portion of New Hanover County. Republican Ted Davis has held the seat since his appointment in 2012. He's been reelected three times and is now seeking his fourth term in the face of challenges from Democrat Marsha Morgan and Libertarian David Perry. According to David Perry's campaign website, he grew up in New Hampshire. After getting a master's of education, he worked with students dealing with serious disabilities at the Perkins School for the Blind in Massachusetts. He then shifted focus to software engineering and information technology. He is now a senior software engineer at the Corning plant in Wilmington, and he joins us now. David Perry, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for having me, Rachel.
Just a reminder that this interview is pre-recorded. David Perry, you allege on your website that one major party would like to have a nanny state. The other would like a police state. Both, you say, would direct us towards authoritarianism. As a libertarian, which specific freedoms do you think North Carolina's state government is impinging upon?
Yeah, unfortunately, gone are the days of Reagan and limited government, where government is the problem and not the solution. It seems like these days, Republicans have forgotten all those principles and really want to crack down on security, violate our Fourth Amendment rights on a routine basis. So from Republicans, that's what you usually see.
And from the Democratic viewpoint, just too much government? Is that fair?
Yes, I think we can do a lot better job governing ourselves here locally, not centralized in Raleigh or in Washington, D.C., and that we can run our own personal lives without a bunch of rules and regulations and laws.
What is the line between state government and local government? Can you give us an example of an issue that is currently legislated by the state, but you really think should be at the local level?
Well, I mean, one big one for right here is education. I really believe education needs to be a local issue. And if we only had the money here, we could fund and manage our own schools a lot better than the bureaucrats up there in Raleigh. One-size-fits-all solutions for all school districts usually don't work. I believe the people of this county would be more than willing to shell out a little bit extra in a county income tax if they could get their state income tax eliminated in order to fund great schools and pay our teachers better.
So you would have state income tax entirely eliminated?
That's correct.
And then the other functions of state government, how would you pay for those?
Well, I think the state government needs to, you know, relegate its stuff to countywide threats. I mean, the purpose of government, according to Jefferson, is to secure our life, liberty, and property. When it comes to state government, it should be dealing with issues like genetics that cross county lines, that are threats to those things, and not trying to micromanage our community by a lot of ABC laws, for instance, that come down on our bars and restaurants and how you can conduct business. Really, that should be no concern of our state government.
You also say on your campaign website that it was the nomination of Donald Trump as the Republican Party's candidate that caused you to split with the Republican Party. You had been a Republican for many years. What specifically about the current president's nomination led you to that decision?
It wasn't necessarily him per se, as opposed to what we ended up with. I was a supporter of Rand Paul, and I really loved his father, Ron Paul. He's an inspiration to me to this day. I went to go see him down in Charleston a couple months back. But unfortunately, the Liberty Movement that I believe that Ron Paul started in 2008 and 2012, I thought was going to take root. So I hung on a little bit longer with the Republican Party. But now it just seems like they've lost all bearings towards what their principles of limited government were supposed to be.
And so would you compare the federal government to North Carolina's state government in terms of loss of liberty?
Yes. I mean, I think everybody wants to centralize everything. So once our founding fathers thought that our federal government should be very small and that states should have most of the power. But I also believe that percolates down to where our state government should be a lot smaller and a lot less important than, say, our county government.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're talking with David Perry, Libertarian candidate for North Carolina House District 19, which covers the southern portion of New Hanover County. He's challenging Republican incumbent Ted Davis Jr., who's held the seat for 3.5 terms and is seeking his fourth. Today's interviews are pre-recorded. What exactly, you kind of mentioned Gen X in passing, and I know that is certainly an important part of your platform, but before we get to that, what other issues do you think state government should be addressing?
One of the things that, besides getting out of a lot of things that they're already in, because there's a lot of things that they need to, seize power and give it back to the counties. So, of course, there are things that are statewide threats. And I think one of the things is corruption, political corruption that's going on here. I do think we need, it's happening locally and it's happening on the, it's also happening at the statewide level where, companies are basically buying our politicians. And, just a story today in the Port City Daily where a corporate developer is not going to have to pay any penalty for cutting down 50 trees, whereas a local resident who had 6 trees about ready to fall on his house has to pay $1,000 worth of fines and has to plant 25 new trees. So it's this sort of thing that I believe when it comes to corruption that the state government needs to come down on, whether it's local or state.
So one of the key issues, as you know, for people in House District 19 is clean drinking water. The public has been grappling with the news over the last year and change that multiple chemical compounds that are currently unregulated and with current technology can't be filtered out are in the drinking water supply for several hundred thousand people. In light of this news, what do state legislators need to do? They've certainly passed legislation to address Gen X. Has that been enough, or is there more that needs to happen?
I believe that there's been some funding of, as Representative Davis, who's been in charge of the committee to take care of Gen X, has committed some money to testing and research, but not enough teeth, not enough power given to the DEQ to be really transform itself into a watchdog agency. Because this is a legitimate function of state government, to protect our life and our health from statewide threats such as Gen X. So this is definitely within their scope. Unfortunately, Chemours and their parent company DuPont have been doing this for decades. They did it in the Ohio River Valley with C8, and they're doing it here. They knew it was bad, and they kept on dumping it, and yet they just figure the cost of litigation is just easier to pay for than transforming their business's processes. So one of the things that I think we need to do as far as DEQ is to be able to turn it into almost like a restaurant inspector. If they see pollution going on, they need to come down and shut them down until they clean up.
Now, from where DEQ sits, and there may be more nuances to this, but the compounds that were coming out of Chemours currently didn't have standards set by the federal government, and therefore DENR, or what is now DEQ, didn't have standards for those compounds.
And I agree. And see, I think we have it the wrong way. We have these basically pollution poison permits issued by the federal government and the EPA standards. And what it should be, of course, the Hardison, amendment doesn't help. It basically says that North Carolina is not allowed to have more stringent environmental controls. So I thank Deb Butler for that in her opposition to that. So there are some ways that me and Marsha Morgan do see eye to eye on certain things. But we need to get tougher, and basically the position should be is you don't get to put anything into the water unless it's proven to be safe rather than vice versa.
We're talking with David Perry. He is the Libertarian candidate for North Carolina House District 19. He's challenging Republican incumbent Ted Davis Jr. David Perry, you have a solution to the opioid crisis.
Well, I wouldn't call it a solution, but a start. And, a lot of people will talk about cracking down on the drug dealers and the heroin dealers, and that just combats supply. It doesn't combat demand. And as we found out during alcohol prohibition, if there's demand, there will be supply. So I believe that's a waste of taxpayer money. What we need to do is find solutions that, you know, affect demand. And here, one of the easiest ways of doing it is to legalize medical cannabis. I think there's growing support. I believe that Elon University poll recently said that 80% of the public was for it, yet our General Assembly has done nothing to legalize medical cannabis because it's been used for centuries upon centuries to treat pain. So why not give our doctors another option to treat people with pain rather than having to prescribe addictive pills?
So you're talking about medical cannabis, not marijuana just legalized across the board.
Eventually, I do believe in recreational marijuana. I just don't believe that there's the support for it at this time. But hopefully, we will eventually get there. But I do believe that we can do that on a countywide level. So that's why I'm open to giving each county the ability to legalize it, recreational marijuana, on a local level. But statewide, we need medical cannabis right away.
Have you heard about any of these studies published in peer-reviewed medical journals that show marijuana is not a harmless recreational substance? Rather, it contributes to permanent cognitive impairment in some cases, particularly in younger people. In fact, we recently had a doctor on Coastline, Dr. Andrew Farah, who's written the book Hemingway's Brain, who looks at this stuff, and he writes there are numerous acute as well as long-term neuropsychiatric consequences of cannabis use, in addition to acute psychosis and agitation. He looks at the long-term issues of cognitive decline and cannabis possibly being a contributory cause of schizophrenia. That's pretty serious.
I'm certainly not recommending that people go out and use marijuana recreationally. I don't. But I do believe that it's not the purpose of government to tell us what kind of risk we can take with our own personal lives. Now, I would recommend using marijuana on a medical basis if you're under a doctor's supervision, and I think that's a completely different matter altogether.
What are the priorities in the coming years for transportation in the Cape Fear region, as far as you're concerned? Would you want to increase state funding for projects here?
No, actually, but I would like, as I said, I would like to see us eliminate the income tax and bring back some of the money back here. We're throwing, for every dollar we throw to Raleigh, we're lucky if we get 25 cents back. And we're begging and pleading with the Department of Transportation to maybe build us this road here or this bridge there. And, you know, if we collect that tax here, if we keep revenue generated in New Hanover County and make it stay in New Hanover County, maybe we can come up with our own roads and our own bridges and our own solutions to our transportation problems.
Offshore drilling is something that people on the coast have expressed, up and down the coast, coastal stakeholders have expressed opposition to. Is that something that you would support or oppose if you were in the legislature?
Right. I'm on the fence on this issue. My initial gut reaction was no, because I don't think that the federal deal that's going to be going on, I pretty much just think it's cake. Now, I have talked to some people who are basically saying that at this point, all they want is an exploration to see what's down there. So I'm not necessarily opposed to that. But if it was going to happen, I would allow for the exploration right now to see what's going to happen. See what you got.
You would allow for the seismic testing to see if there's a resource there.
And how much would they offer the people of North Carolina to take that risk? Because I do believe it's a huge risk. But instead of the money going to our state government, I want to see it like Alaska. I want to see people get a dividend check if they decide to do it. And I also would want to insist that the voters get a vote on it.
The United Nations recently released a climate change report that sounds the alarm and emphasizes the importance of cutting emissions in order to keep global warming within 1.5 degrees Celsius. Do you think North Carolina has any role in contributing to this effort to slow emissions or cut?
Well, then, and again, yeah, that's an environmental issue that affects all of us here in North Carolina. So I have no problems. You know, I haven't reviewed all the scientific evidence, but it seems somewhat overwhelming that this is happening, and we should be able to take standards to make sure that our climate is not growing artificially because of what's happening with manufacturing.
And you made it clear that you think counties should be doing their own work on public education in terms of funding that, funding it more according to their own standards. So with the difficulty that the state has had in keeping and attracting really good teachers, is that an issue that you would even consider at the legislature?
Yeah, no, I mean, I believe that each county would come up with its own incentive package, and they would decide for themselves how much they want to spend on education and how much they want to spend on other services. So in my tax plan actually allows for a 3% local income tax, but no more. So it's actually a tax reduction for individual people.
Are there any of the constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot this November that you support?
I support three.
Which three?
I support the hunting and fishing, the Marcy's Law, and also the income tax cap.
And that's this edition of Coastline. David Perry, thanks so much for sharing your views.
Thank you.
Thanks also to Representative Ted Davis and Democratic challenger Marsha Morgan. Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Producer is Rachel Keith. Production manager is Caitlin Hanrahan. Caitlin Freund is our webmaster. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. Remember, early voting is underway. Election Day is November 6th. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.